Okay, let's move on to time certain, 6:57.
Travel Portland 2015 presentation.
Good morning.
I had some remarks. I had some introductory.
Oh, okay. Commissioner Saltzman will start off, and then we'll give Jeff the floor.
Thank you, Mayor. It's a pleasure to introduce this annual update for the City Council from Travel Portland on the health of our tourism industry over the past year. And it's no shock to report that it is healthy. And Travel Portland, Jeff Miller, Board Chair Jim Dodson, and many of the staff and other board members here in the audience are a big reason our industry is so healthy. And as we know, Travel Portland is the premier destination marketing organization and continues to be the go-to location for would-be Portland travelers and conventioneers worldwide. We'll hear more about these successes now from Travel Portland's Executive Director, Jeff Miller.
Mayor Hells, nice to be here. Commissioners, it's always fun to talk about the wonderful work that we do. And in conversation with Commissioner Saltzman this year, who, as you know, is on our board, we thought we'd take a little bit of a back-to-basics approach and talk about the work of the work and how we do what we do and where we invest those funds and what that looks like. We've got our board members here, staff members here, and I get to work with some really, really wonderful people, and it's exciting work to do. I always say if you're interested in an organization, look at their budget, and that will tell you what they're interested in and how they do what they do. As you can see from this chart, marketing is the number one budget item with 37% of our money's going there. The winter campaign, which is November through March, is the largest piece of that, obviously. The hotel said to us, please invest when we need business the most, and that's in those kind of rainy, dreary winter months, which actually weren't rainy or dreary this year. Convention marketing, website, the voice of the brand really sits in this budget piece. Convention sales, something that is easily counted, 19% of our budget. Most of that is paid for by the Oregon Convention Center, and we've also enhanced that with Tourism Improvement District funds given to us by the hotels. Tourism, global tourism, 10% of the budget, and probably the largest increase in the last few years. And we think the future is in international as Portland grows its reputation both domestically but also internationally. Communications PR, while only 8%, probably is our farthest reach when those journalists tell the story of Portland both domestically and internationally. Convention services, visitor services, partner services, also very important. They fulfill the promise when that visitor comes to Portland and show just how friendly we are and how much fun we have living here and doing what we do. Capital events and certainly the operations with IT and other things are a part of that budget. But let me get into some of that work. Global tourism, we have a very, very busy calendar. We have 48 FAM tours a year, and many of you are familiar with the convention sales FAM tours, but probably not the tour operators that come from around the world to see Portland and put us on their itineraries. We attend 23 trade shows, some very, very large, like the largest one in Berlin, 23 buildings of convention, of destinations selling their location. It's nothing short of amazing to see. And we're very closely connected to Delta and the Port of Portland. Those direct flights, as you know, are incredible economic drivers for our region, and certainly our job is to help fill the front of the plane and, more importantly, often the back of the plane. We have two large planning meetings with Delta Asia, Delta Europe, and then many, many other planning meetings with them to ensure that our marketing is aligned with their marketing because we want a healthy PDX and we want those flights full.
Yeah.
Yes, they are. We have New Condor and Iceland Air, and our team has worked very, very closely with our marketing teams. The Iceland Air flight has already extended, as you know. The first 2 weeks are completely sold out. Condor doing very well. So that tells us that Portland is on the map. One thing that we're doing very differently now than we did 2 years ago is really consumer promotions. In these global destinations, we have a lot of tour operators that have Portland packages. But what we found is that we really needed to tell the story of Portland more authentically and tell it to the consumer so that they're buying those packages. A promotion we did last year was with Thomas Lauderdale and Pink Martini. He had a concert already planned in Paris. We took over the lobby with Delta. We had a week on what would be their Kink radio. That radio station then came here and broadcast back to France for a week. We did giveaways. Thomas talked about this great place, Portland, that he lives. And those kind of consumer promotions really, really put us on a different playing field than we've ever been. And we're really proud of those. And I'm proud of the team for coming up with that. Most people don't know that we're in 19 countries. We work very, very hard around the globe. And nobody has an idea of how what our reach is and what we're trying to do for Portland. We have 7 foreign language websites: Japanese, German, Dutch, French, simplified Chinese, traditional Chinese, and Portuguese. And then I've given some of the brochures that we have done in other languages, too. So we are truly a global organization and really proud of that. This is our new trade show booth at IPW. You probably saw last year Commissioner Saltzman joins us at ASAE for the convention trade show. This is the biggest international show in the U.S. On the right, we have folks from Asia. On the left, folks from the U.K. And I think the center is either Germany or France. So it's when you see these in action, that it's a lot of fun. Partner businesses. These are the folks that, as I said, we want to bring business to Portland and Portlanders. And it's economic development. Tourism is a big engine. 838 partners, and we've had a special push this year to increase our MWESB, and especially on the minority side, and I'll talk about that a little bit more. Business-to-business networking events so that those partners, those small businesses, can understand how they can partner with each other and partner with Travel Portland. And then a new effort this year has been brown bag lunches. One coming up is Billy Moser, our VP of Global Tourism. We'll meet with partners and have a brown bag to talk about how can you connect with Travel Portland? How can you get more of that business? What do you need to do to be China ready? What does that look like in your business, and how do we help you get there? So when that tourist shows up, you know how to treat them. You know what that feels like and how to partner with us. The Visitors Information Center in Pioneer Courthouse Square sees over 600,000 visitors a year. It's pretty phenomenal, and that's separate from TriMet and the other parts of that building. We love what's going on down there, and we have 72 volunteers that help us with 12,000 hours, and they are passionate about this place, Portland. We're working with the James Beard Public Market, and they'll unveil tonight, as you know. They're one of the new designs. We want a visitors information center there, too, because we know that will also be a place for visitors to gather, and we think we should be in both places there, so we're excited about that. Marketing. You have the Travel Portland magazine there. We produce a lot of those every year, so if you ever need them for visitors or for your office, please let us know. We're happy to supply those. We distribute them far and wide. It's not only a lure piece, but it's also something that we find people bring, and they've dog-eared the pages and seeing things that they want to do. One of the things that we've worked with RAC, and we've developed an events calendar that is 12% of the entire page views of travelportland.com. And it's something that we think we can do a better job of talking to locals about. How do you access, what is Travel Portland, number one, and what's that events calendar? At any one time, there are about 700 events on that calendar. 790 contributors, so anybody can contribute to that, and it's a great place for Portlanders, not just visitors, to find out what's going on this weekend when they've got family in town and other things. So we're going to do a local push, which we've never done before, but we think that's the place to do it. Social media, obviously very, very important to us, and we have a separate website for the meeting side of the business that gets 25,000 hits a month. We've got lots of trade show booths, 8 of them, 20 by 20s, 10 by 20s, and all sorts of sizes, and you've seen one of those. But the marketing folks really are the brand of what we do. And here are the TravelPortland.com website visits. As you can see, it has grown significantly over the years. Now, one of the things that we did last year when DMI went away, the downtown marketing went away, we took ownership of downtownportland.org and Dining Month Portland and incorporated those into our website. So we have a much, much more robust downtown presence on there, and we can redirect those folks to our website, and it was a way that we were able to hold on to those URLs. And we work directly with the Business Alliance and that program, as it's been funded, to keep that robust and make sure that it works well. Dining Month, the reason March is so big, Dining Month Portland is a huge promotion for our restaurants. They love it. It fills the restaurants when they need the business. We're able to then promote it up in Seattle, Vancouver, BC, and get those other visitors down. And that spike is partially because of Dining Month. That's how big it is. You may have heard we built a clock. It sits at the airport. It's 25 feet tall, the largest freestanding cuckoo clock in North America, made out of a single piece of Oregon maple. It is nothing short of phenomenal. We had it in Seattle and in Vancouver, BC, to kick off the winter campaign. And we took Portland personalities with us. We took naked bike riders, who were in leotards. We took Stephen Smith, who did a tea tasting there, a poet, a comedian, a band, and each hour a new Portland personality would come out, and one was Santa Squatch. So you got to sit on Santa Squatch's lap and ask for what you wanted for Christmas. With the 2 o'clock showings, we had 67 media placements, articles and online articles about the clock and about the winter promotion. 115 million impressions, and we got $2.9 million worth of media value out of that one clock. It will be at PDX until next March, and I would say that there's easily 200 to 300 to 500 selfies a day with a clock. It is a working clock, too, by the way, and was produced locally. The winter campaign, we always like to measure what we do to make sure that it's effective for the people we're doing it for. We asked Smith Travel to give us a projection looking at our convention calendar and everything during that November to March time period. What do you think will happen? They thought we would sell 0.4% more rooms. It was actually 4.5% more rooms. So we feel like we've had a little bit of an effect there. Intent to travel. We ask West Coast travelers, are you extremely or very likely to come to Portland in the next 24 months? Last year, 28% of them said yes. This year, 37% of them said yes. So we're moving that needle and really getting the hearts and minds of those travelers. We ask Longwoods to measure what is our advertising worth in incremental spend. So they said last year, we got $64.7 million more spending that we would not have gotten had we not advertised in that time period. This year it was 70.1, so a pretty nice increase. And that is money in businesses small and large. Communications PR, again, one of the most important things we do. Through the third quarter of this year, there have been 535 articles featured on Portland that our team has touched. There have been, I'm sure, many more than that, but our team's worked with that many. You can see 407 domestic, 128 international, and we've worked with 150 journalists, and that's touching them, talking to them, touring them, or providing information for them. So it's a lot of people that have an interest in this place. We do media tours, and we have PR contracts with Lane PR, a local company that talks about West Coast media, Sunset Magazine, those sorts of things. And we've just engaged Laura Davidson out of New York to talk to national media and who are those publications and where are those places that we want to tell the special story of Portland. You can see the ad values are up, very large numbers, and very, very important. One of the initiatives that I've talked about before but we're very excited about is diversity and strategic relationships. And many of you have met Tamara Kennedy Hill, who heads that up. Her title was Director of Community Relations, and now it's Director of Diversity and Strategic Relationships because we wanted to be explicit in what that work was and what our goals were in that position. So we're moving forward very clearly on that. We have a committee of the board, the Community Action Committee, that looks at development, public safety, transportation. What are those things that affect tourists? On diversity, we have a multicultural advisory council that we're asking those folks' opinions on the work that we're doing, especially on the convention side. But also, Tamara helps coordinate our internal efforts. What are we doing and how are we doing it well together? And then the liaison to the chamber and to community groups to make sure that we are listening and hearing. We just had a group in from the Jade District come and talk to the entire Travel Portland staff about what's going on there so we do a better job of selling that. So it was great to hear this morning. And there are a lot of jobs in hospitality, so how do we connect our hospitality partners to those career fairs? We have a small foundation that we are able to give for people moving into hospitality jobs, and we do that with the Hispanic Chamber and other places. Something very, very important to us, and it's a position that's taking greater and greater importance. Convention sales, we can count those room nights very, very clearly. We attend 34 trade shows. We have 90 site visits, and that's for meeting planners that want a more personalized view of Portland and what they need to see. We do 3 FAM tours. Many of you have been to those FAM tours. Commissioner Hales, or excuse me, Mayor Hales was just at one of our FAMs doing a welcome, and I thought you did a great job of talking about getting this place ready for them over many, many years. They loved that. We have a customer advisory board, and those people are they're meeting planners that give us advice on our programs and are we doing things well. That's coming up July 8th and 9th. We have one of those CAB members in town this week, Jan Snegus, and she represents the Unitarian Universalist. They have 5,000 attendees, 9,200 room nights, and an economic value to Portland of $4 million. Really important to have those CAB members also be customers and love us. And we're always excited to have the Universalists back. They're kind of a good core group of Portland, and they are the greenest group that the Convention Center ever sees. And they push us really, really hard, and it makes us better at what they do because they're so interested in all sorts of sustainability. We also, as we've talked about this diversity effort, we worked with Supublico to help us produce some videos for that meeting planner, those diverse meeting planners. We've done an African-American, Asian-American, and Hispanic, and I'm going to show you the African-American. These aren't released yet, but this is the first preview.
Other places. It's an environment that's loving and it embraces interesting and new people that come to it.
It's a very diverse city. We have lots of different foods and culture and dancing and people.
I think we have a festival of some sort every single week.
You can drive an hour in any direction. You can hit the snow, you can hit the ocean, you can hit the desert. You know, you can ride your bike to and fro and like it's easy, it's simple.
This is an excellent place to come on convention, and then you can vacation afterwards.
I believe Portland's a great art city. It's a very lively, very vibrant community.
It's easy to get around. We have everything that a major city would have and that would draw them to come to their community. This is a place that you can get the best food, the friendliest people, a good rate on a hotel, and outstanding, and when I say outstanding, convention facilities. They have outstanding convention facilities.
You need to come here to feel it and experience it.
We have the hashtag for That's My PDX that we'll use on the social media side of all of these and really engage those meeting planners. This will be on our website. We'll use it in promotional ways. And we're really excited about being able to do that and talk directly to those communities. And many of you know we did a meeting planner survey a few years ago, and we asked them, what do you need out of a destination? And so we're building that tool chest continually so that we can talk to those people and help them find their community when they're in Portland. Convention Services has to fulfill all the promises that the sales team made. So we do a lot. We distribute a lot of promotional materials. We have the TriMet program that we help with. We have a housing department that helps book rooms for those groups that ask us. You can see 32,000 of those. And at the end of the day, again, economic development. We want to push leads out to those meeting planners so that they use local businesses and create that business for them. A lot of groups, a lot of site tours for clients, again, who need that personalized experience to find the right off-site venues, the right caterers, the other things. And then we also go the year before to very large conventions and kind of whip them up and get them excited about coming to Portland the following year. So we think that's important, and meeting planners love that. These are the stats. These are how many citywide convention groups we've had the last 3 years. And we're just going into 2015-16, and we'll add a few more in the year for the year. you can see significant numbers of room nights on those citywide conventions. And you can already see that 15-16 is more than last year, and we know we'll add some to that with very large economic impact. And we are very conservative. This does not include multipliers. It's just what our calculator, that's a national calculator that we use, says. We also book a lot of single hotel pieces of convention, so smaller meetings, 5 to 500 people. Again, a lot of room nights and a lot of economic impact. You know, I want to talk a little bit about the Visitors Development Fund Board, which is separate from Travel Portland, even though we manage the paperwork and the assets of that. Commissioner Saltzman, Commissioner Fritz sit on that board, and it's comprised of elected officials from each jurisdiction, 5 hoteliers and 2 rental car folks, since they're paying collecting the taxes for this, and 2 Travel Portland people. The funding for that in the new VDI agreement is $645,000 a year, which goes up by CPI, and then a flat amount of $875,000 that was from the refinance of the convention center bonds. So we have about $1.5 million coming in a year. The Visitors Development Fund has made grants the last 2 years of, as you can see here, and the amounts of those. We're spending the money very wisely, we think. The economic impact of those 45 grants in 2013 was over $73 million with an ROI of 34.3 to 1. The average VDF grant is $52,000. These are not huge grants, and most of that is used to buy down the rent at the convention center so that we can lure that group to come. It's sort of the guarantee that you'll come if we help do that. This is the checkbook. And we're, you know, you can see the amount of money coming in. We had some carryover moving into 2016. But you can see the commitments already made each year, the promises that we've made out of that. And there's not a lot of money left at the end of 2016. A little bit more in 2018. It looks like a fair amount in 2018, a fair amount. But 2018 is a need year for Portland. We're struggling to book the number of conventions that we need, so we're working really, really hard on that. And we will need to deploy that money very, very carefully. And here's, I think, a really good place to talk about IAAF 2016. We're incredibly excited about them coming here and what it will do for Portland. We applaud the City Council's support of that. One of the reasons, you know, I heard that as they were testifying that we had limited them to $100,000, and we hadn't limited them. We had saved $50,000. We knew we could probably get to $100,000, but they were making an ask when their event is next March. Everyone generally asked 2 or 3 years in advance, so we had spent the checkbook down, and we're afraid that we weren't going to have enough money for them. When the board at this last meeting went back and looked at it, we were able to come together and pull out $175,000 for them on a $250,000 ask, and we're looking at other ways that we might help them, but we needed them to come a little earlier and plan this with us so that we could be good partners. And one thing that we're also talking to them about, the IAAF folks, Vin Lanana and the group, we've been awarded in Oregon and Eugene the 2021 Outdoor Championships, which is fantastic. But there's a move afoot to raise the lodging tax, the statewide lodging tax, by 1% to pay for this, and we're concerned about that. We are at 12.5% lodging tax, 2% TID. And we are competitive. We're just below our competitive set in the amount of taxes that we charge meeting planners. So we're concerned about the fact that we would raise this to 15.5%, which would make us not as competitive. We still have the issue of the convention center and not having a headquarters hotel. And we also know that we have plenty of venues in Portland that are going to need help. The amounts that they're looking for this event are $75 million worth of renovation to Hayward Field, plus another amount for the event. We know that we have $75 to $100 million worth of work at VMC. The Portland Expo Center has 3 90-year-old buildings that need help. We've got a lot of things, so we are at that table. We're having that conversation. We're working with Susan Hartnett, who's been a great partner of ours, the Metro, the county folks, to really talk about what are the needs in Portland. And when you look at the amount of tax collected just in the city of Portland, it's about $5 million a year this year. That's 33% of the entire statewide lodging tax collection when you look at the 1%. So we want to make sure that we can be partners in helping the 2021 happen, but also understanding that Portland has needs that we need to take care of at the same time. And again, we want to be partners. We're excited about it, but we really want to be at that table, and we will be at that table with you and with many others. I wanted to just briefly show you the amount, sort of how a convention and a good convention month actually does affect the tax rolls and the tax that we all get. In April of this year, we had 13 conventions booked at the Oregon Convention Center, which represented over 25,000 room nights. 12,800 of those were the Craft Brewers Conference. Now, this was not only big, but it was good for Portland because we are the home of craft brewing. We own that. We're very proud of it. It was business development, I think, for us. The occupancy that month for hotels went up 7%. The average daily rate went up $21 to $143. Revenue for hotels went up 24%, and we know that the tax rolls then go up, the tax collections go up about 24%. So when we have a robust month of conventions and big conventions, it affects how those taxes are collected and that it makes a difference. My last few slides, and I'll be very brief with these, but I thought you ought to see what's happened over the last 4 years. The occupancy rate in 2011 was 68.7 for the entire city of Portland hotels for the year. This year, it's 76.7%. Phenomenal. Now, we've got a lot of new hotel product coming on, so that's a very good thing. That occupancy may go down, but we will sell more rooms, which is, I think, important here, and this is calendar year. The average daily rate was $106.77. In 2011, it's now $132.13. And on some weekends in Portland and days when we have conventions, you won't find a room for under $300 or $400 in downtown. The revenue growth for the hotels has gone up, as you can see, 8%, 10%, 10%, and 13% last year. And you already know what this year looks like because you see the tax collections. This is the five-year tax collection increase. 2011 was our 1% to Travel Portland was about $3 million a year, just slightly over that. This year, if we get a $17,000 check in July, and we know we will be at $5 million. Five times that is certainly your take. It's risen from $15 million in that 2011 year to $25 million this year. It's a phenomenal increase. You want us working and doing this program of work to feed that engine and create those taxes and really grow your ability to use that and our hotels and small businesses to grow with us. And Portland is happening now, as we like to say. And with that, I'm happy to take any questions. And
thanks very much, Jeff. Questions?
A couple questions. Thanks for the presentation. We learned this past week that Charlotte got the NBA All-Star game, and so it's pushing back our aspirations. So it begs the question in my mind, how much business are we currently losing because we don't have a headquarter hotel?
We lose each year probably about 15 pieces of large citywide conventions because of the lack of that hotel and hotel package. It's huge amounts of economic impact, hundreds of million dollars over the course of a few years.
My recollection is we were also hearing from the NBA that was sort of a prerequisite to have a headquarter hotel.
It is, and I heard yesterday that I think it's 2020 is the 50-year anniversary of the Trailblazers, and that would be the sweet spot. We should have the hotel open by then, and we're building. You know, the Trailblazers are leading the charge on the bid, but we are right with them, with the Oregon Sports Authority and many others, to make sure that we are a destination that they're going to pick very soon.
Other questions for Jeff?
Yeah, I was wondering, what is the thought in the industry about the impact of Airbnb, et cetera, on hotels? I mean, is there competition? Is there not competition? Is the jury still out?
You know, I think some would say that the jury's still out in some ways, but Bashar Wali from Provenance Hotels has said it's a very different animal, and it's bringing a consumer that we might not see in a hotel. Family, people that want to stay in neighborhoods. So as we look at our tax collections from Airbnb and kind of figure out what we think those are, it's been a significant driver of taxes, and the hotels are certainly not feeling it as you've seen the statistics. And that consumer that's picking Airbnb is probably not looking to spend $300 or $400 a night on a hotel room, and they're looking for a different experience. So we think it's additive, not competition.
I apologize if you said this and I just missed it, but what's sort of the breakdown of visitors to Portland in terms of like in-state, out-of-state, West Coast, Midwest, Northeast, international?
It's a little hard to tell sort of the number. We know that we get over 8 million visitors a year. We know international is growing. Because we don't have a sales tax, we do get some visa view information on international, and we know that Japan is our number one inbound market. China is just barely number two, and that's increased in the past 3 years. Germany, UK are right after those. Australia is coming on very, very strong, which I think is surprising to most people. Within any destination, we know that, as we say, the rubber tire market, Seattle, Vancouver, Oregon, Northern California is our biggest market. Canada is our biggest international, not overseas market. That's why we do the winter campaign from Vancouver, BC, Seattle, and regionally, because those people, they know the rain, and we've done focus groups. They're more than willing to come here when it's a little damp and wet. So that's going to always be our most important market, but we've got to look further afield as we think about sort of the brand of, and what's our role in international marketing as we go with PDC to Japan or other places. I feel like we sell the lifestyle of this place. You know, do we have the business infrastructure, kind of the basics, but what's it going to be like? What's that city like? And so that's our role. And we work very closely with all those agencies to do that.
Jeff, I have one more question. It goes back to the grant making. And I want to ask you a philosophical question. When I served on the Oregon Cultural Trust Board, there were people who urged that we made fewer grants at a larger amount to really have an impact on organizations versus lots of grants, smaller amounts. Your average grant is between 50 and 100. What's the pluses and minuses of, say, betting the house on one event versus spreading the money around lots of events?
Well, we have very strict guidelines that the board has adopted. And between November and March, you have to have an ROI of 25 to 1 at least to get a grant. And we look at that based on economic impact, the number of room nights, and just calculate purely what that 25 to 1 would be. So you can get a larger grant if you come during those months. And it's strictly based on your ability to bring us business. In the summer months, it's 40 to 1. So it's a little harder to get a bigger grant. If you're going to be here in July, the hotels don't need us, don't need the business as much. We're full with transient demand. So we really look at it from an ROI standpoint. And we do some one-offs depending on the group. If it's a sweet spot for Portland, then we'll go a little below those. But we look at it more of what's this business going to bring us back, as opposed to small or large. Depends if you've got a really huge event and you deserve the $100,000 and can sort of make that work, then we'll give you that grant.
Other questions? Jeff, we just appreciate you and Commissioner Saltzman, you getting this presentation before us, although we have obviously two of our members that serve on the Visitor Development Board and serve us well there. It's good for the whole council and the whole community to hear how this is working. There's a great deal of public revenue involved and public expenditure that we rely on your organization to use well, and obviously getting great results, and we appreciate the presentation. It's good for the community and the whole council to see the report about how this is working and where we have to go next. So we appreciate you very much. Thank you so much.
Thanks for that trust.
Thank you. Good work. All right. Now we're going to